From the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies, this is Pardes from Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, Pardes alum. This week, Vayera. The Winter 2018 Pardes Executive Learning Seminar is ready for you to register. It will be held at Pardes in Jerusalem this winter, December 23rd through 27th. There is a 15% discount if you sign up before the end of October, so I urge you to check it all out. Sign up and join us in Jerusalem at Pardes. You'll have a wonderful time, and the topic this winter will be War and Peace, the Challenges of Sovereignty. So check out all the details at pardes.org.il. Thanks very much. This week, Vayera with Rabbi David Levin-Cruz. There is a handout for this podcast, so check it out via elmad.pardes.org. That's elmad.pardes.org. Rabbi David Levin-Cruz is an adjunct member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi David Levin-Cruz.
Thank you, Larry. One of the questions that people always ask about this week's Parsha Vayera, in which we read about the binding and the near sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham, is why did he not protest? Isn't it obvious that any father who cares about their son would protest? And this is especially relevant because in a previous story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where God threatened to destroy the two cities, Abraham, if we look at number 3 in our source sheet, Vayigash Avraham Vayomer, Af Tispot Tzadik Im Rasha, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And Abraham says to God, will the Lord of the universe will not act justly? In the story, Abraham challenges God in his action and hear nothing. Vayishkam Avraham Baboker, he gets up the next morning and goes and does it. Much, much ink has been spilt on this issue. Very often people speak about the private nature, the personal nature of the Akedah versus the communal nature of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not sure I buy it completely. What's completely fascinating is that the protest poet and folk singer, Bob Dylan, in his song Highway 61, creates an incredible midrash in which he brings the two stories together. If you look at the song, "Oh, God said to Abraham, kill me a son." This is the basic command. Take your son, your only one whom you love, Isaac, and go away to the land of Moriah. Abe said, man, you must be putting me on. In this version, Abraham does protest. And in a very powerful way, he says, God said no. Abe say, what? God say, you can do what you want, Abe, but the next time you see me coming, you better run. We really have a give and take going on over here. But even more cleverly, the word Abraham, the name Abraham, gets contracted to Abe. Now, this could just be a jocular way of speaking. He's trying to make the two sound like Greenwich Village hippies. But it could also be an undoing of the second source on your source sheet, where God says to Avram, your name will no longer be called Avram, but your name shall be Abraham. You have a new role. You're going to be expanded. You're going to be the father of a nation, and through you the world is going to be blessed. Therefore, you need a bigger name. Here we have the opposite, a contraction, a constriction. Abraham becomes less. In a very, very powerful way, Dylan is saying this was an immoral command, and in doing so, you made Abraham less. And people with a fine ear to American history probably hear a hint of Abraham Lincoln, who on the one hand was the great emancipator, the person who brought freedom and justice, Honest Abe, but it was in charge of maybe the most horrific sacrifice of soldiers in the history of the United States of America. So he's playing with a lot, with the name becoming shortened, he's playing with Abe Lincoln, of a reversal of the closeness to God. And God is saying it's a risky game if you question me. And then Abe said, where do you want this killing done? God said, out on Highway 61. This is the moral equivalent, if you look at the first source. V'helu sham lo'ola al echad harim asher omar lecha. Bring him up for a burnt offering of one of the mountains of which I will tell you. This is Highway 61. This is the equivalent of the top of the mountain. What is Highway 61? In a moment, we'll look about what it was historically. But for now, it's the place where we escape from life's bizarre problems. It's the place, it's like a red light district in a neighborhood. It's where the things that are wrong happen. It's outside of society. And every stanza is going to describe an unusual problem that is resolved on Highway 61. It's a place you can escape to. And every stanza in some way is a more of a midrash on this Abraham story about constriction, about becoming less than I can, about authority not being, authority abusing its authority historically, or should I say geographically. Highway 61 is the road that runs from Dylan's state of Minnesota to the deep south, where a lot of his music comes from, where the blues, the records, the trucks that were carrying the old blues records would have gotten to Dylan in Highway 61. It's the place, it's the road that he could use to escape from the town that he grew up in, that he so much wanted to escape. Historically, when African Americans were going north for opportunities, what they would do is they would use Highway 61, which would, and bring their musical traditions with them, so much so that this was even called the Blues Highway. Interestingly, there is an urban legend, or that at the crossroads of Highway 49 and 61, the musician Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil in return for having great ability on the guitar and becoming famous and being very, very talented. He was the first folk musician to get fame through the mass media, and Dylan actually suggested that. Dylan himself had made a similar deal. The crossroads is where one makes the most critical decisions in life. We are going to be looking at this poem as an extended midrash about the Abraham story, but there are many other ways to read it. We're also going to be reading it as a political piece. Some people see it as the history of music, and in this case, they're talking about early spirituals when they talk about Abraham. There's also a reading which I'm basically going to leave, but I wanted to be mentioned, that reads it as with a lot of drug references. We're going to do a few of them, but basically that's not why we're going to, the way we're going to be looking at it. Mostly what we're going to be looking at is through the eyes of the biblical tradition and through politics and economics. So stanza two. Well, Georgia Sam, he had a bloody nose. This is probably a mention of the great blues musician Blind Willie McTell. He's maybe using drugs. He's got a bloody nose. He's on bad times. Welfare apartment, they wouldn't give him clothes despite reconstruction and everything else. There's a Jim Crow South. Black people do not have what they should be having. This Georgia Sam is beyond the help of the welfare department. He asks poor Howard, where can I go? He says to the head of the welfare department, help me, what can I do? Howard said, there's only one place I know. He says that this tramp would be better off not messing up our beautiful white lily cities, not spoiling these nice city streets. He said, go beyond. Go somewhere out. Sam said, tell me quick. I got to run. Oh, Howard just pointed his gun. Maybe he was just pointing his gun because that's what he did, and he pointed using his gun. But maybe he was telling Georgia Sam to kill himself the same way as God told Abraham to kill his son. We don't need you. You extraneous to the society. And said that way down Highway 61. Again, Highway 61 is where we get rid of the people, where we put the people that we don't care about. Third stanza. Well, Mac the Finger said to Louis the King, this is probably Lonnie McIntosh speaking to Louis Armstrong, the king of jazz, trumpet, and song. It could be, he says, I got 40 red, white, and blue shoestrings and 1,000 telephones that don't ring. Not clear what this means, but there is a feeling of excess, of too much, maybe of consumerism, of capitalism. The shoestrings are red, white, and blue, which are patriotic American colors, but we're getting rid of them. We produce too much. We have to get rid of the things we don't. Shoestring and telephones could refer to gang torture. It's a slang for gang torture. It could also be a musical reference that despite his enormous talents, Lonnie McIntosh didn't get a lot of recognition from the recording industry, and therefore the telephones didn't ring for him with requests. He says, Do you know where I can get rid of these things? And Louis the King says, let me think for a minute, son. Then he says, yes, I think it can be easily done. Just take everything down to Highway 61. Anything surplus can be dumped there without questions being asked. This great society that God promised to Abraham, no, this isn't happening. We're creating a society which overproduces and has to get rid of what it overproduces. Each case, constriction, authority not behaving the way that it should, all echoing the Abraham story. The fourth stanza, which again picks up and uses biblical references, is a very hard one. It's very, very tough, I find, to speak about it. There, in terms of the biblical references on this one, maybe I'll share a little bit with you how I choose these references. One is if I see them myself and I see that it really, really works, then, and it makes sense to me, that's the main way. Secondly, if Dylan himself said that he used these references. And thirdly, is if there are people, commentators, who really, really feel in this one, many, many commentators see this connected to Yechezkel, the book of Ezekiel. Dylan has a very, very interested, he is obsessed with Yechezkel. He says, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was in the middle of the exile by the river Chebar, the heavens opened up and I saw visions of God. Yechezkel opens with a tremendous story of different animals up in heaven and angels and beating wings and everything. It is a magnificent vision of the world and of closeness to God, and of, it's the basis of the mystical tradition. There's some people who see the numbers. I'm not sure I see it completely, but there's some people who see the numbers in this stanza, stanza number four, as hinting at Yechezkel. Now the fifth daughter, so this man has a fifth daughter, on the 12th night, probably a reference to Shakespeare's 12th night, told the first father, and this brings us back to Genesis, the beautiful opening of the Bible where everything is perfect. If you look at number 5, Bereshit 1, God creates man in God's image, Betzelem Elohim bara oto. Person is a mirror image of God, so we brought back to this pristine, perfect place. So the fourth daughter tells the father that things weren't right. My complexion, she says, is much too white. Why is the complexion much too white? It could be hemophilia. It could be drug dependency. It could be morning sickness. But maybe, maybe she realizes that so much evil in America and other societies perpetrated by white people. And she says, my skin is too white. I don't want to be part of the oppressors anymore. He said, come here and step into the light. You're right. Let me tell the second mother that this has been done. It's the second mother, which maybe in Bible times was all right because you could have more than one wife, but maybe it's polygamy in our sense. And maybe it's somehow a reference to Eve. Lo tov heyot adam hadam levado, Bereshit 2:18, is not good for a person to be alone, a man to be alone. Eselo ezekenegdo, I will make him a helpmate. Look what's going on over here. The exact opposite of helpmate. He says, let me tell the second mother what has been done. But the second mother was with the seventh son. This seems to be an incest reference. The father can't find the second, seventh son, so she's either run off with her own son or her stepson. Regardless, we have here a lot of incest and polygamy. And where are they? We already know this. They were both out on Highway 61, the place where we get rid of our skeletons, our discomforts, and our problems, where a deeply incestuous family can come and express their beyond acceptable ideas, the same way as a parent sacrificing their son is beyond acceptable, but still happens. A poor person being told to not mess up the sidewalk is beyond acceptable, but still happens. Dumping goods when much of the world is starving or in need is beyond acceptable, but nevertheless gets done. So too, yeah, incest, cuckoldry, polygamy, it all happens on Highway 61. And all of this brings us as a preparation to the last verse, which very, very much speaks about the idea of what happens when we take the story of Isaac to its nth degree, when it takes it, and what happens, what is the logical conclusion? He says, now the roving gambler he was very bored. This is possibly a reference to Satan, to the opponent of God, because he was roving too. If you look at the seventh source, Iyov 2:2, now the Lord said to the opponent, "Where are you coming from?" And the opponent replied to the Lord and said, "From roving on the earth and from walking in it." Mushat ba'aretz ve'hitalech ba. What's going on over here? This could be a reference to a gambler. It could be a reference to a politician who wants to start a war. Remember that we have nuclear war in the background of the song. It's the late 60s. Time of people are very, very worried about this. The Vietnam War is going on. There was the Northeast blackout of 1965, not too long away before. So there's a lot of fear going on. He's trying to create the next world war. Again, talking about the indifference of people in authority to cruelty, sadism and destruction. I'm just thinking of Wilfred Owen as well, about his poem about the old men of Europe sacrificing their sons. This is tapping in on all this idea of the father sending off their sons to war. This is the exact opposite of the great nation that God promises to Abraham. If you look at the last Jewish quote, biblical quote, after the Akedah, God says to Abraham, "And through your children shall be blessed all the nations of the world, because you listen to my voice." Absolutely beautiful. And here we're saying, this isn't what happened. In fact, it's the opposite. We're careering towards a new world war. He found a promoter who nearly fell off the floor. He said, "I never engaged in this kind of thing before, but yes, I think it can be easily done." The politician finds somebody who agrees with him. And how do they do it? "We'll just put some bleachers out in the sun." This is a sporting metaphor. We can market sport. We can make people interested in it. We can sell it like a game or a show. It can be like a sport event. And where will we have it? We'll have it on Highway 61. And this, if the song starts with a story from Genesis, it ends off with the potential end of the world in a very, very powerful opposition to authority and to human sacrifice, to waste, to depraved, how the depravity has happened. What basically Dylan is saying is that people abusing their power leads to a world in which no one wants to live in. This is very harsh, very, very harsh piece. I have to say that I very rarely feel this, but after I studied it, I almost felt polluted, like tuma. I felt I needed to have tameh. I felt I needed to go to the mikveh to be purified from it. It really takes us to perhaps a very real, but not very nice part of life, and very, very difficult to accept. Those of you who know me either through podcasts or I've had the pleasure to teach personally will know that I like happy endings. There's no real happy ending over here. Textually, it goes very, very differently from Jewish tradition, which generally, at least parts of the tradition, see Abraham as being somebody who was willing to set aside his own personal desires to do what God said, and see it as very powerful. But perhaps there are two positive things I can think. First of all, Dylan has written this protest song. We only protest when we think that there's a chance of success. And he uses the Bible to protest. Even sometimes when he's using the Bible against itself, he's still using the Bible. And I think in some way Dylan is saying the world is still not all gone. It's still perfectible in some way. There still is a chance for us to fix it up. But I think maybe something else happens, and that is in the story of the binding of Isaac. In the end, Isaac is not bound. And he's not sacrificed. He's bound, but he's not sacrificed. And there's something very, very important. The way I read the story is it's a polemic against child sacrifice. And I think that we need to remember that ultimately what the story is telling us is we should not sacrifice our sons. And maybe this song can be read as a warning to make sure that that doesn't happen. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levenkreuz. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.